Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
On two sides of the country, two devastating disappearances. All the way in Truckee, California and Atlanta, Georgia, we are on the search for two beautiful young girls. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. Does the name Alani Lenore ring a bell? If not before, it will now. Take a listen now to WXIA 11.
The parents of Alania Lenore, or Fruity as she was called by friends, gathered Sunday morning to send a message at the spot where she was last seen.
She would not leave, you know, for no reason. There's no reason, so that's why we know she had to have been taken.
Alania has been missing since July 30th. According to the Atlanta Police Department, she was last seen in front of this apartment complex on Peachtree Street Northwest. Her mother, Jeanette, says the 24-year-old left her home and went to the complex with a friend. That was the last time, she says, she heard from her daughter.
Can you imagine what Alani's mother has been living through in a desperate search for her daughter, her beautiful young daughter just seemingly vanishing into thin air? Joining me right now, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know. But before I introduce them all, I want to go to Alani's mother, Jeanette Jackson. You can find her on Instagram at finding_fruity, her nickname. Ms. Jackson, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for continually saying my daughter's name.
You know, Ms. Jackson, I have a daughter and a son, and I cannot imagine the hell you're going through right now. I will say her name as long as you want me to. We all will to help you get some kind of answer. When did you realize something was wrong, that you had no idea where Alani was?
Sunday, July 30th. I'm sorry, everything is starting to mix, you know, because so many days. But Sunday, I got a call, was she home? So I didn't really think nothing of it because I knew she had plans and we communicate very well. But Monday, I knew then it was a problem because we communicate a lot. And that's when Monday, I just really started paving the pavement and trying to get the police to do something.
I'm trying to understand that where you live versus where Alani live. Alani's just 24 years old at the time she disappeared. And that's been a few weeks now. Tell me where you live in relation to Alani.
Okay. So that's an error that I'm glad you asked. So my daughter lives, I live in Douglasville, and that's where she lives with me. So that's why I know she's missing. She went to this location to visit, you know, these friends.
So she lives with you?
She lives with me.
Okay. I was trying to figure out, you were saying that y'all are always in communication. Now I know why. You live together.
Yeah, we live together. So.
Okay. So when you're apart, do you stay in touch by texting and calling?
Yeah, we text, we Twitter, we TikTok, we're constantly, you know, communicating. And if she's not going to come home, she lets me know where. And we also share location. So that's why I knew her last location.
Oh, you share location. I love that.
Yes, we share location.
Whenever I get worried about the twins, I can do Life 360 or share location, and I know everything is okay. Very comforting. So on that day, July 30, just a couple of weeks ago, when you didn't hear from her, did you check her location?
I did. So that was the last known location. Where she disappeared from is the last location I got.
I understand that. Guys, take a listen to our friend Jeff Hollinger, WXIA.
24-year-old Alana Lenore was last seen along the 1600 block of Peachtree Street in Northeast Atlanta on July 30th. That's right across from where Peachtree intersects with Buford Highway. She stands 5 feet 4 inches tall. She has brown hair, brown eyes, last seen wearing a blue shirt, blue shorts, cream-colored shoes. If you think you can help, call 911 or Atlanta Police. Now, family and friends believe that she was abducted from her apartment at that location. They plan to hold a vigil tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in front of the apartment building, also at 1600 Peachtree Street Northeast.
Let me understand something. Back to you. This is Alani's mom, Jeanette Jackson, joining us. He said Peachtree and Beaufort Highway. I thought it was Peachtree and about 17th.
Correct. It's 1660 Peachtree is the actual place where she was at.
Is that around Peachtree and 17th?
Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah.
Because the location is very, very important. Where she was last seen, who she was last with, are there surveillance cameras? Is it a business? Is it a gas station? Is it a convenience store? Is it the High Museum a couple of blocks south of there? I mean, all of this matters in finding out what happened to this beautiful young girl. I mean, think about it. Every morning, this is mom's morning star, her little girl, her baby, her joy, her pride. And now, out of nowhere, she's gone. And there are no answers. Can you imagine that moment? Mom is looking up Life 360, find my iPhone, sharing locations, can't find. Let me ask you, Ms. Jeanette Jackson, did her, when you call her phone, did it go straight to voicemail?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much. With me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, Sydney Sumner. Sydney, thank you for being with us. We don't know a lot, but just give me the bare bones of what we know right now about Alani's disappearance. And guys, the tip line is 404-546-4235. Repeat, 404-545-4235. Go ahead, Sydney.
Well, we know that Alani was with a friend on the night of July 30th, and we believe that they were going to this apartment complex.
What? You mean a friend man, a boyfriend or a friend boy what?
A girlfriend. She was with her girlfriend, and they were meeting some friends at this apartment complex, and that's where Alani was last seen.
In the complex or outside on the street? In the parking lot, in her car. Do we know that, Sydney Sumner?
I don't think we know that.
Hey, maybe mom knows. Jeanette Jackson, what do you know?
I do know.
Tell me.
She went inside this building. The building has lots of cameras and video, which I have not been allowed to see. And the only thing that I can say is that they have been able to confirm that my daughter went inside this specific apartment with these three other people who have three different stories.
N-O. With me, high-profile lawyer. I'm sure you've heard his name before, out of Winter Park, Florida. John Deal, author of The Method, Proven Techniques for Winning Jury Trials. You can find him at johnwdeal.com. John, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
You know what I love? I love it when three people are together and they all have a different story of what happened in, like, let's just say 30-minute time span. Now, okay, I accept that different witnesses' stories are never going to be the same. For instance, if I were to tell you what has happened today in the studio, it would be a very different story than Jackie's, what she's doing to man the boards and technically make everything work beautifully like she does. We'd have two very different stories. However, upon questioning, at some point, those stories should jive, should they not, John Deal?
Yeah, correct. I mean, the biggest problem, I think, is when you have a circumstance like this, is it's mysterious, you know, three different stories. Obviously, there's the truth in there somewhere. And the very fact that the stories vary, if I'm an investigator, I'm wanting to get them each separate, have them not communicating, trying to figure out exactly everybody's stories and how does that match up with the physical evidence. Thankfully, there's video cameras and that type of thing. But yeah, that's a major red flag.
Well put, because then once you, and I don't mean coach the witnesses. You know, when lawyers try to coach witnesses, it always comes out on cross.
Correct.
Have you been coached? Did you talk to other witnesses? Did somebody tell you what to say? Don't ever coach a witness. Let them say what they remember. But once you can piece together their stories from their different vantage points and their personal POV, point of view, then you have to reconcile it with something that's not going to change. That's a hard evidence, like DNA, like video surveillance. Hey, quick question to Miss Jeanette Jackson joining us. This is Alani's mom. Is there a lobby in that apartment building? I assume it's a high rise.
It is. It's like student. It appears to be student housing of some sort.
Student housing. That would have to either be Georgia Tech or SCAD. Or
they're right next to SCAD. They are literally
GSU.
So a lot of students are. You know, a lot of young women in that building.
Is there a lobby, or do you just walk straight in and get on the elevator?
You can walk in.
Is there a doorman?
No.
Did you say you were able to what, just walk straight in?
I was able to walk in and go through each floor and knock and go even into places in that building.
That's bad.
Like at least 20 units.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
Empty. Like, you could just go in there.
Chris Byers joining me, former police chief, Johns Creek, 25 years on the force, now PI and polygrapher at Chris Byers Investigations and Polygraph.com. Chris, that's bad. In the sense of trying to determine what happened to Alani, where is she? If you can just walk in and there's not a key card, the front door is unsecured, you just walk in and get on the elevator and go wherever you please. Some nut off the street could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just asking for trouble, especially in an area like that. And like you said, it's directly across the street. I'm looking at the map now from SCAD. Tons of students.
I think she said beside SCAD.
Yeah, it is. It's right. Looks like it's right next to it. I mean, that's just, like I said, asking for trouble when there's no control, there's no lobby that you come into so that everybody is seen on a camera.
Or for Pete's sake, just a key card.
Yep, absolutely.
Just some form of protection. And you know, another thing, Chris Byers, you're the former police chief. Why in the H-A-Y, why the hey aren't they allowing Ms. Jackson to see that video surveillance?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I was always told my investigators be very open and transparent with the families. There's no reason that she should not be allowed to see that video evidence.
Absolutely not. No reason at all. I want to go to Dr. Sherry Schwartz joining us, renowned psychologist, a forensic psychologist, author of Criminal Behavior and Where Law and Psychology Intersect. Dr. Sherry, you know, we think that there is safety in numbers. That's not always true. Here you've got Alani with her friend, but somehow she goes missing. That reminds me of Natalie Holloway. She was with her friends down there in Aruba, and suddenly, boom, they get separated, and then she goes missing. She's never been found. Yes, it's better to go in a group, but once you separate, all hell can break loose.
That is so true, Nancy. And the thing is, and I teach this to my college students, too, based a lot on your work in victim advocacy, is that we really are no match for a predatory individual or group of individuals. Because when you are going about your daily life, being a law-abiding, good person who's just looking to hang out with your friends, and you're not looking to do someone else harm, it's really hard to fathom that there are people out there who are hunting you to possibly do you harm.
It's really hard to take that, and I try to explain that to my twins. They're 14, but they're too young to really grasp that. And I think most of us as adults, we don't like to think that there could be a predator behind every tree, for Pete's sake. But
absolutely,
the reality is there are predators out there, and we, as trusting humans, don't always identify them. Okay, so I've got three people with different stories, but let me first start with who is Alani. Who is Alani Lenore? Take a listen to our friend Madeline Montgomery at CBS 46.
Friends and family tell CBS 46 that Atlanta police are investigating the disappearance as suspicious.
This is not her behavior. She would not leave, you know, for no reason. There's no reason. So that's why we know she had to have been taken.
So her parents are pleading with the people who have her.
We ask you to please allow us to see our daughter again. Allow us to know the outcome of her well-being.
Jeanette Jackson is with us, and do you know how much it hurts her to go through these facts again with me with a fine tooth comb? It hurts a lot, but she's doing it to try to find her daughter. Won't you help us? You know, I heard you just say that this is not her behavior. She would not leave for no reason. And that's how we know she was taken. Explain to me her behavior. Like, my son, if I say, you want to go out for, yes. If I say to my daughter, do you want to go? No. She wants to stay home, curled up, writing in her journal, watching Gossip Girl, but whatever she's doing. I know their behavior like the back of my hand. Tell me about Alani's behavior. Why is this not like her to just leave and not tell you?
Well, the main thing is that we, you know, we are close. We are super close. And everybody who's her friend or knows her is also super close with her. So there is no reason for her to leave when she loves us and her life. She doesn't have any reason to get up and go.
Tell me about her life. What was she doing? Why was she near SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design?
The reason she went there, she went with a friend there to go meet some friends. And have a good
the friend girl?
Yeah, the girlfriend, yes.
Okay, how does she know this friend?
She's actually my granddaughter's mother.
Okay, so they're related?
Yeah, so we're related.
Okay, so you know her. How old is she?
She's 21.
Is she a student?
Not at this time, no. I don't think she's going to school.
I just got that in my head because she's around GSU, Georgia Tech, SCAD. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Where she goes missing, and this may have actually been at least partially student housing. That's why I had that in my head. And what did Alani want to do for a career?
She wanted to do cooking. Eventually, that's what we were going to. We were working on getting her a food truck. Everybody who knows her knows she loves to cook.
What was her specialty?
She loved like sushi meals. So she was into that kind of cuisine, like Asian cuisine.
Just thinking about Alani and that evening, last seen July 30. Now, Miss Jeanette Jackson, you stated that the three people with her, one being a relative,
correct,
a female relative, 21 years old, have three different stories. Who are the other two? Who are they?
They're the two gentlemen who own the apartment. So her and my daughter went to go see these two gentlemen and have fun for the night. I don't know if their plan was to go out or what.
Who are they? What do they do? Are they students? Do they have jobs? What can you tell me about them?
Like, I don't know them, but from what I've now gathered between internet and people who know, they're not good people.
Okay. Couple of quick questions. Have they taken polygraphs? Do you know?
No, I don't think so.
Has their apartment been examined forensically?
Because of the... As far as I know, a search warrant has finally been issued, and they did do a search warrant.
I don't like that word, finally, because the longer you delay John Deal, would you agree, the less likely you're going to get good evidence.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially when people are aware they may be under the microscope, it becomes problematic.
What do those two guys say, Ms. Jackson, about Alani?
Well, they had conflicting stories, but basically the timeline in which they say they came and left and left her there at the apartment on her own doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Like, if you just met my daughter or you guys were just becoming friends, why would you leave somebody in your apartment alone? Who does that?
Well, where's the friend girl? Where was she during all this?
She left her there.
Oh, okay. Whoa, wait a minute. So, no offense to you, but your 21-year-old relative,
yes,
left Alani alone in that apartment?
Correct.
Why?
I would love to know why.
She won't tell you?
It's been a thousand stories of the why.
Give me one.
She wanted to stay there.
Why would you want to stay in somebody's apartment that you don't know?
Exactly. When she was her ride.
Okay, and what's another story? Just go along with me. What's another story?
Another story was just... I was supposed to come back and get her. That's why I left. I went to go do something.
Both of those could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why does a 21-year-old say she left? Did she go to the grocery store? Did she go to the liquor store? Did she go fill her car up with gas? Did she go to a club planning to come back?
She had her boyfriend pick her up.
So she left with her boyfriend to go where?
I, I would love to know.
See, I don't like the vagary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Byers with me, former police chief, Johns Creek, 25 years on the force, now PI and polygrapher. I want to know every fact. What time did you leave? Why did you leave her there? I mean, if you wanted to go out to a club and she didn't want to go, fine. Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'm just trying to understand the facts. I'm not judging. I
Correct.
Just want to know.
Correct.
So when somebody won't tell me Chris Byers, that makes me think that there's some nefarious reason they're not telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. As an investigator, that's exactly what I would be thinking as well. If you've got nothing to hide, especially, you know, it's gone this long, everybody needs to be telling the truth to get her home. I'd be extremely suspicious of everybody involved in this right now.
To Miss Jeanette Jackson, the mother of Alani Lenore, last seen July 30, on video surveillance, going into an apartment building on Peachtree Street, right there in front of God and everybody, but then is never seen again. Are you understanding, Miss Jackson, that the video surveillance does not show Alani ever leaving that apartment?
That's what I'm, yes, correct.
Okay, how can that be? How can that be? John Dill, a high-profile lawyer joining us out of Winter Park. It's happened. I remember the one case of Annie Lee.
Right.
Wasn't it Annie's last name? She... brilliant researcher goes into, it's an Ivy League college too, goes in to her research job. There's a fire drill unplanned. Everybody leaves, but she's never seen leaving.
Yes.
She was found in the wall. I mean, there have been cases like that. You know, and maybe there's a way out that's not under surveillance. There are innocent reasons too.
Correct.
But
Correct.
That she has not been spotted leaving. It all goes back to that building,
right? Right. That's, again, you know, we have stories and then we have, you know, actual evidence that, you know, somebody somewhere either through, you know, cell phone pings of the two gentlemen or whoever was there, if she didn't go in, and then you have to narrow it down, well, if she didn't go in, where could she have gone out? Who had access to that? Who had access to come in? And especially in an area like this, assuming if the two gentlemen aren't involved, I mean, college areas are ripe for issues of people coming in. And you know that from all the cases that we've had through the years about college towns and college areas. But that's where the focus, I would think, from an investigator would be.
And you know what else? And I want Dr. Sherry Schwartz and investigator Chris Byers to weigh in. These aren't some grubby student housing apartments. These are luxe. Take a listen to our Cut 17, our friends at CBS 46.
Alani Lenore, Fruity, Cece, all names to describe a beloved 24-year-old from Douglasville.
People who are seeing this don't stop saying my daughter's name.
Alani was last seen at a friend's place at the 1660 Luxury Apartments on Peachtree Street in Midtown Atlanta. But that was a week ago.
Now try to imagine yourself not hearing from your loved one for that length amount of time. It's a nightmare.
You know, I'm curious, Dr. Sherry Schwartz, when you hear luxury apartment building, you think you're safe, but obviously you're not, Dr. Sherry. That's a misconception.
Yeah, apparently so. And when I first heard Ms. Jackson say that a lot of students live there, and she said a lot of female students live there, and that there's no security to speak of, that's alarming. You know, a building like that, where you know, in particular, you have a lot of young people who, you know, not that they're doing anything wrong, they're doing what young people do. They're gathering, they're having parties, there might be alcohol, you know, things like that. I would think that whoever runs that building would take security very, very seriously.
Guys, we are talking about the disappearance of a beautiful young girl, Alani Lenore, out of Atlanta, Georgia. And one of the ritziest areas right down the street from the High Museum. Where is Alani? To her mother, Miss Jeanette Jackson, what are cops telling you now?
Right now, they just reassigned another detective who handles complex cases. I guess that's what they call it. They weren't very forthcoming until I showed up to somebody from the city who helped me get to a meeting, to a public safety meeting, to even get back when I originally kept going to the police station, I was not getting any help. Very little help and very little communication. They are saying that they are investigating, that they are looking at these three people, that exactly what I told you, the stories aren't exactly the same, the pings match this place, and that they are looking at lots of video, that's why they won't let me see what's going on.
If you have information, the tip line, 404-546-4235, 404-546-4235. Ms. Jackson, you and Alani are in our prayers.
Thank you.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
And now we turn and head across the country to another gorgeous young girl missing. Take a listen to our friends at ABC 10.
Placer County deputies posted this just hours ago. They're searching for 16-year-old Kylie Rodney. She was last seen at a party near the Prosser family campground in Truckee. Deputies have set up a tip line and are now calling this an abduction. Also missing, Kylie's car, a silver 2013 Honda CRV, California license plate 8YUR127. Her phone has been out of service since the party.
We just want her home. We're so scared and we miss her so much and we love her so much. And Kylie, we love you. And if you see this, please just come home. I want nothing more than to hug you. And if anybody else out there, if you know where she is, if you know anything about where she might be, if you have any ideas or thoughts, please come forward and share them. And we're not looking to like bust anybody else or get anybody in trouble. We just want to see our daughter home.
When she says, and you're hearing her mother speaking, when she said, I don't want to bust anybody or get anybody in trouble, to Sydney Sumner joining us, crimeonline.com investigative reporter, Kylie was at a big party, like a graduation party. There were like 200 or 300 students and friends there. Somebody had to see something. I don't want to get anybody in any trouble either, but I want to find this girl. Tell me what happened, Sydney.
Yeah, so the timeline for that night is that Kylie was at this party. She spent most of the night with her friend, her girlfriend, Sammy Smith. And Smith actually left before Kylie, and that's apparently the last time anyone can confirm that they saw Kylie after Sammy left.
So let me understand. She goes to the party with the friend. What's the friend's name? Sammy?
Sammy Smith.
And she doesn't leave with Sammy, right?
No. Sammy goes home by herself and leaves Kylie there in good spirit.
Why?
I don't think they were riding
together.
Okay, so
Kylie wanted to stay.
Yes.
All right, they weren't riding together. That's an important fact.
Right.
And let me understand. Where is this? Where did this happen? Where is Truckee, California?
Yeah, I've actually driven through Truckee a couple of times. It's right on the way if you're trying to get from Reno to Lake Tahoe. So it's basically this city that's right on the border in between California and Nevada. It's really small. I remember seeing a gas station. I think the population is less than 20,000 people.
Wow. Okay, see, that's so important. That's so important because it reduces the potential number of suspects, although it is in that stretch from Reno to Lake Tahoe. So you do get a lot of people going back and forth through there.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of party was this, Sydney Sumner?
It was out at a campground. So it's actually at the Prosser family campground, a little bit north of the city.
The what?
The Prosser family campground is where this party was. So it was a little bit north of the city, Truckee, right next to Lake Prosser. And yeah, it seems like it was a huge party. There were kids coming out from San Francisco, apparently.
What kind of party was it, Sydney Sumner?
Apparently it was a senior farewell party. So you have juniors, seniors, college kids, at this party.
Okay, so apparently everybody did not know everyone else. Mm-hmm. Take a listen now to our Cut 5, our friends at KOVR.
Here is a look at Kylie Rodney, 16 years old, 5'7", 118 pounds, blonde hair. And Placer County Sheriff's Office says they're treating this like an abduction because her car also has not been found. But let's show you some video from around this area where volunteers and search and rescue crews have been scouring the entire area around Prosper Campground, where she was last seen at about midnight Friday. She was at a senior farewell party.
Senior farewell party. You are hearing our friends at KOVR. Now listen to our friends at ABC 10.
Kylie Rodney was last seen at a party here at the Prosser Family Campgrounds. About 100 people were there. And I want to show you what this area looks like so you can understand what authorities are up against when it comes to the search this morning. This is a heavily wooded area. A large body of water is here at the campgrounds, and they're looking up and down throughout this area trying to find her. This 16-year-old girl disappeared from the party. Her silver 2013 Honda CRV is also missing, and her phone has been out of service since the party. According to the sheriff's office, the Honda has a California license plate.
California license plate, car missing, cell phone out of service since she left the party. Is that correct, Sydney Sumner?
Yes, that is correct. After she sent a text to her mother that she was coming home from the party at about 12:15 a.m. on Saturday, her phone goes silent and we haven't heard from it since.
Again, with me, an all-star panel to try to break down what we know right now. To Chris Byers, former police chief, Johns Creek, what do you think?
I think that they are treating this correct, that as looking at an abduction and not just a missing person, which is huge. So I hats off to the sheriff's department for treating this right, not trying to minimize what's going on. You know, you always start looking where she was last seen and go outward. But I agree with the sheriff's department with the car missing as well. I would definitely be looking at this like an abduction.
You know, from my understanding, to Dr. Sherry Schwartz joining me, forensic psychologist, apparently there weren't just the invitees there. Word got out. And apparently friends are saying a lot of older guys showed up and we're trying to get the younger girls drunk. I mean, this little girl, Kylie Rodney, is just 16 years old.
Yes. And as I was listening, Nancy, I wondered, you know, how did this go out on social media, right? Because this is how so many of us communicate nowadays, right? And so even if somebody's at the party posting or you know, doing a live TikTok or Insta story, and there's people in the area, they come on by. There's people that maybe plan to be there because they saw it on social media. And, hey, there's going to be high school girls there and maybe some college girls there. So it's one of those things that can get out of control fast. And then it makes it even harder.
Yeah. And we have a big time gap before she's reported missing. Take a listen to our friends at KOVR.
We also had the opportunity to talk to her mother of a very difficult time for her mom.
It was at 11:30. She told me that she was leaving in 45 minutes and going to be on her way home. I'm a terrible mother. I'd slept. I said, you know, wake me up when you come home. And then I woke up at 8 a.m. and realized she hadn't woken me up. She's so, so responsible. She always checks in. She always texts me when she's out and lets me know, even checking in multiple times a night, even when she's out with friends.
So the behavioral evidence is that she always texts mom or friends. But as of that night, everything goes radio silent. So we, John Deal, now have an 8-hour gap.
Correct.
From the time she texts mom at 12:15 to 8 o'clock that morning, mom wakes up and realizes she's not there. That hurts the case.
Yes. Fortunately, though, there's two things that they're going to be looking at very carefully. Obviously, the cell phone, even though it wasn't responded, it may still be pinging, kind of like in the Michelle Parker case. And then most importantly is the car. And if this went on a highway anywhere, if it went into Nevada, that can be found, at least its location, somehow through different cameras can be tracked down.
What if the cell phone is underwater?
Well, that's another concern, but at least they know when it last pinged.
Exactly.
So that would be, you know, the timing of it as to where it would last ping or was last operative is a critical piece in the investigation.
Yeah, and we don't know that, but we do know this. There's no Amber Alert. Curious. Take a listen to our Cut 7, friends at KOVR.
The CHP has not issued an Amber Alert in this case because they are saying that this is not a credible abduction at this point. They have no proof, according to their own threshold, that this, in fact, is an abduction. The Placer County Sheriff, they're saying that they are treating this as if she has been abducted because they can't find her vehicle. And as a result of treating it that way and putting this out there in that manner, the FBI is now also involved in the search for Kylie Rodney right now.
Interesting. It takes a lot to get the FBI involved. Take a listen to this.
The last person to speak to her by phone was her friend Sammy Smith, who was with her at the party.
That somebody else was involved is my main concern, and I think a lot of the people of Truckee and Tahoe feel the same way, just that there was somebody else involved, because they haven't found a car yet. They've done helicopter searches over Prosser and all of Truckee. Everybody's looking everywhere constantly for her and her car.
Well, the Placer County Sheriff's Office released a photo of the type of car that Rodney owns and would have been driving. It's a 2013 Honda CR-V.
So we now know that she spoke to someone after speaking to her mom. That someone is Sammy Smith, who is now dedicating herself to the search. Listen.
Sammy Smith, one of Kylie's good friends, is organizing crews of community members who are looking for the teen across the Tahoe region.
In Glenshire.
These flyers are posted in neighborhoods, downtown Truckee, and at campsites.
So this is where everybody's hanging out. Kylie and I were meeting up right here a lot.
Local young people call this open area near the Prosser family campground the sanctuary. It's a common place for parties. Sammy says she was here with Kylie Friday night, along with tons of other high school and college kids from the Bay Area all the way to Nevada.
The search for Kylie Rodney goes on. Tip line 530-581-6320. Goodbye, friend.